has spoken about local economic partnerships and to how you deal with it. I mean, we're very lucky in Northamptonshire. I have my own LEP and I fund it, so in that sense I have control and it works very effectively. But, you know, that is in theory one place where you can get scale. The other thing that hasn't been spoken about today, and nor am I going to talk about it, but it is a really interesting thing that you touched on there, is the cost of procurement. And I think one thing that has held back enormously development across is the cost of procurement. And I just wonder who is really tackling that. I mean, the wonderful statistics, isn't it? Something like 64% of all OGs come out of the United Kingdom. So what about the rest of Europe? So what do we do to ourselves to add that red tape, which I think another speaker was talking about? I'll sort of meander for 10 minutes on various other points. I think the place I want to start, because I will start, you know, I'm an eternal optimist. You know, I unfortunately am not Southwark with the ability to fund everything, or Kevin Lavery was with me last week with, you know, unifying Cornwall and having now £200 million of reserves. I run a county that has the lowest county council tax of any county in the country, a thing that my politicians are proud of, even if quite likely it doesn't necessarily help my baseline. Their argument was, well, we've been this long, we might as well go to the election before we start raising it. I think that's where they came from. But I think the first thing we need to talk about an investment, is to remember that we're the only people who have the solutions, the people in this room, public and private, and banks which do need help from. The one thing about local government is its ability to, it does co-evolve things, which is not good use, but it also has huge to test bed for innovation. So I think that, you know, and we are in a wonderful position where we are being challenged as a sector, which has the most long-term issues, you know, growing populations, aging populations, all the things that most of you in the public sector know about. And we are the only people, we are the lost generation who is going to have to find the solutions in that sense. So the first thing you need to do is, well, clear about why you want that money in the first place. Now, and you can go on forever on these, but you've got this statutory type of projects, the things that are going to be there in the long term, are always going to be there. The educational establishment, we talk about schools, not to mention that again. The roads, the infrastructure, the railways. Now, what is our role? And because that affects your risk appetite, it affects your return on investment, it is whether you are a funder or you want to be a commercial returner, and I think decisions like that. The second ones are, you know, revenue reduction on spend. I'm going to build a new headquarters in Northampton, part of the Northampton that I really need to generate. Northampton, it's a jewel. It's 1 hour from London, it's 2 hours from everywhere else. You know, thank goodness the government started to recognise that as well, and thank God the Borough Council is starting to work with us to do something about it. But we're going to build that. Well, actually, we've actually worked out that it pays for itself over time, so we're going to get on with it. And we're going to get, we've also talked to car park providers who say, well, since it's a whole enterprise zone just down there, we'll build you the car park, which is one of the other problems I had with, if I was trying to build it with a car park, I couldn't do that. But there's a commercial car park offer there. We talked to them, yeah, we'd be very happy to build that. By the way, can we run all the other car parks while we're at it? Because that's the give take that somebody else mentioned. Well, another reason we're doing it, so if you've got statutory projects, you've got revenue reduction projects, there's also demand management. One thing that the public sector has got to understand, it's a business. And it does supply management through right sourcing, through partnerships, and it does demand management. How does it reduce demand? Well, one of the demand management is about having a prosperous economy. Local prosperity is directly correlated to reduced demand on the public sector. So if I want to selfishly cut the demand on the public sector in the future, because we're going to be around even if it's not me, we have to invest in prosperity and accept that. So we, you know, we are doing things, I'll come on to examples in a minute. Then of course we also have to accept there are vanity, heritage, which I wouldn't say vanity, another type of projects that people like to do and your leader likes to go before he goes into things. And again, you know, you're not going to get anybody coming in and partnering with you on that one. So you need to understand that, because as I say, it affects your risk appetite, affects your return on investment requirements, and the length of any deal or any partnership or the nature of partnerships you want to be in. I'm also MD of LGSS, the largest public sector shared services and local government. Very successful, continually growing. Support services, it's a marriage, okay? The cost of getting out of it will be too high. We didn't enter it with Cambridge here, we didn't enter it at any time, that just goes on. And we do work with Norwich and Huntingdonshire and others, that's on a contract sign, so it's horses for courses. The next thing we have to do as the local authorities and you know, some of the planting is chase the money. Because unless we're in London, Greater Manchester, Cambridge, and places where money will come to you because of who or what you are, we have to go out and find it. So on Monday, I was sat down with a Chinese delegation from Anji County, because we have a lot of huge green agendas. We have high-performance technology engineering in our county, it's around green technologies these days. And so we've got them across. And we sit there and we, you know, they invite us back and we build up a relationship. And over a long time, we start to do trade with China in Anji County, which is where the Bakugan pandas are, and you know, zero carbon in any development there, if anybody thinks they have misnomers of what China's like. But we have to do that. As a role now, the chief executive of the public sector has to do. I've been through with the London World Trade Centre every one of my investment requirements, and they are going out and looking at all the partners from Azerbaijan to everywhere else about where, you know, where what my investment demands are and what somebody else wants to invest in philanthropic or return wise, and try and marry. Now, it isn't going to happen unless we actually get out there and do it. We have our own EU office, okay, and we have our own European office because we have things like a trans-European network road running straight through the middle of our county, the A14. And we are leading, we've already got some investment in there, but we are leading a cross-let from, you know, because we work from Felixstowe, Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire, Warwickshire, and we're leading on that. And we're working in chasing that money through a trans-European network road through Europe. And because if you're not there, you won't get anything. It's as simple as that. You've got to be in there to play the game. And I sit down with developers in Northampton and say, okay guys, you're here because we're supposed to, well, we have been for many years and we continue to be the fastest growing county in the country. Okay, we were part of Midlands, I can't even remember what it was, MKSM, Milton South Midlands Development, but all the growth happened in Northamptonshire and will continue to do so. So a lot of the developers established themselves there with their headquarters, and they're going to be building lots of houses. But of course it's all locked up, isn't it? So what do? We actually get them in a room and say, right guys, we all have to win-win-win here. Okay, we get more 106 if you build luxury houses. So let's think about, and we're there with the borough and the planning authority, so let's you build that there, and that'll give us a bit of money, and then we'll go and build a roundabout there, and that'll open up that land development for you. And, you know, Amy's will get yours first, and, you know, you lot will get yours second, and we'll work together to make sure that we unlock and help each other. And those adult conversations between the public and private sector have got to take place. Then, and I think a point is, you know, the sort of first starting, we've got to get sustainable investment funding going. And somebody said it, and I think it was Alison, that we've got to be very commercial on that. There are times. Now, let me use an example. Part of one of Northampton's, I'm at Northamptonshire, one of Northampton's Achilles heels, 280,000 people, it's the largest second tier authority in the country. So, you know, it's important. Northampton is very important to Northamptonshire. And we want to, you know, I'm building my headquarters, but train station. We wanted a new train station, and surprise, surprise, we didn't get the funding from government when we bid. So I said, literally, I tell you what, I'll underwrite. I will put my money where my mouth is, and I will underwrite the costs of the train station. As a consequence of that brave move, because it is a brave move, and that's where we have to be, and it's all publicly announced now, so it's okay. In fact, the Secretary of State came to the station to announce it. You know, PCLG have put $5 million in, Department of Transport put $5 million in, Network Rail put a minimum, have already got a minimum guaranteed of $5 million, they're looking to do some more, the university now putting some money in, and miraculously my liability, albeit I'm still the funder of last resort, and it will be the transport, it will be the franchisees of that rail who get returns, we have to work out those. But by doing that, suddenly things happen. Suddenly, because that's happening, the university is now moving down towards site development, where the Avon building, as anybody knows, Northampton, because we're building a new headquarters. Then miraculously, Legal and General, who have been humming and ahhing about investing in Northampton for ages with the shopping centre there, are getting much more proactive. And we're embarrassing them in the nicest sense of the way that, you know, come on guys, it's your turn now. So the public sector being that catalyst, driving forward as well, we have to take. You know, again, I hate talking about Silverstone when we're here, but when we do the thing, you know, to keep Silverstone, because the 22,000 jobs, 1,500 things, we put a £10 million investment. It was a commercial investment. It's it, you know, it exceeds a lot of our treasury management loans. it's secured against land holdings there, etc., etc. It's a commercial deal with a commercial rate of return, and we have to do that. So we've got to be commercial, but we've got to accept risk. I think we are smarter. The gentleman in the back from the now joined the good sector, but previously in the banking sector, made a point about business cases. All I'd like to say, of course, everything is business case led. You don't blink unless you have a business case behind something. But we also must use the money effectively. Going on to partnerships, you know, I set up with maybe only WSP a capital delivery unit. They're responsible for program management of all our capital, whether it's schools or roads or anything. We do it together. So we're giving your skills, our skills together. We used to deliver 40 to 60% of our capital program on time and to budget. We now deliver over 98% of our capital program on time to budget because we have all those program management skills. I do not mind, and I read an article in the LGC today, I do not mind if it happened to be partnering with Amy and I did with PFI at schools and things, was sat around my board table. It doesn't bother me. It's about what is the right source, where the skills come from. If you think you need a thick client, then think, well, should you be doing it? It's my philosophy. If there are better people to do it, get them in and have them sat around your board table. Because, if Barclays were running my finance and David was sat around my board table as my director of finance, sorry, Matt, then so be it. Because actually, in a modern business council that has to do lots of very, very, very difficult things, we need somebody who can tell me lots of options and play those auctioneerings and tell me what risks and tell me how I can mitigate those risks. So just wrapping up, it's all about trust. If I wrote a book now, it would only entitle one thing, it would be trust, because we can easily stick our heads in the sand and think the problem's too big and think we can't do anything about it and we can blame central government. Well, we have to be independent of central government in terms of funding. If we're reliant on a bankrupt state, which is currently are, then quite frankly, we'll be waiting a long, long time to get any of that. But we have to trust the private sector. I'm very much with the grey sector. I come from the private sector. It's a myth. There's no difference. It's about your outlook on life. You run a £1 billion, 18,000 employee business, so I run a PLC, well, big difference. Tell me the difference when it comes to it. You've got risks, you've got investments, you've got things to deliver, and you've got regulators, whatever sector you're in, quite frankly. You've got to agree that all parties have to win-win. If you go out there believing that they're going to screw you or you're going to have to screw them, it won't work. What is the common win-win? Even what are the consultancy fees to the bank? Okay, or what's the cost of setting up a bond? That is the cost of doing business. But never ever forget what the outcome is that you're trying to achieve around investment. Why were you trying to do that in the first place? Why were you partnering with those people in the first place? And the other thing is, my final plea is, when you're doing two or three or four party agreements, as we do, take the train station, what we do in Northampton, we've got West Northampton Development Corporation, Northampton Borough Council, ourselves, Magonians, other players, you've got to be very, very clear about who is responsible for what, where the long-term liabilities sit. What you can offset to the private sector, what you can't. And don't pretend you can offset, because if you do offset everything you could never offset, then your price will go up. And start to understand those relationships. But particularly in the political environment we work in, it can be a bugger's muddle, particularly if you don't say, well, look, that's what we mean by two-time, two-budget. And if politicians are going to have a say, then that liability and that cost, beyond the initial say, of course, politicians are very important. I'm here to deliver for any politicians what politicians want. But once we've decided that's what we want, what you can't have is meddling and interfering, unless you accept that that party that's meddling and interfering is going to pick up that cost. And I just think some of those sort of clarities. So never lose sight of what the outcome is, and make sure you trust and work closely together.
Very good. We've